Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. I've asked a cast of characters to help with this reading today. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him,
"Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died."
When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said,
"Where have you laid him?"
They said,
"Lord, come and see."
Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said,
"See how he loved him."
But some of them said,
"Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?"
Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said,
"Take away the stone."
Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him,
"Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days."
Jesus said to her,
"Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?"
So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked up toward heaven and said,
"Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said for this, for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me."
When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice,
"Lazarus, come out."
The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them,
"Unbind him and let him go."
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I heard a story about a man who was traveling in the days before cars. And the way in which he was traveling kind of reminded me of maybe how Buffalo might have been many years ago. He was going to a town south of where he was, and he looked at that road and he saw the sign above it. And for our sake, we'll just call it Sheridan over here. And the other one said Casper. Now, he looked at that road going to Sheridan and he said, "Oh my word, it had just rained. It was muddy, it was rutted, there were branches laying across it. It was overgrown. Very few people had traveled that road." But he looked the other way and going to Casper, and he said, "Boy, that's a nice road. I would rather walk on that road than go that way." No, he sat there and he thought about it, and he had the solution. He climbed up on that pole and he turned the sign the other way. He climbed down from the pole and happily started off on his way to Sheridan. Do you think he made it? No, probably not, unless somebody turned him around. We have an opportunity to take the path. Whichever path we choose, we need to be careful that we're going in the right direction. It reminded me of that poem by Robert Frost, in which he says, "Two roads diverged on a yellow wood, and I said that I could not take both." And then he describes both. One is overgrown and it's kind of a difficult road, and the other one is smooth and nice. And in the end he says, "Two roads diverge in a wood, and I chose the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference." For us today, the scriptures all lead us to a road and make us choose the road that we will take. Isaiah is writing to a people who have been taking the wrong road. They've been taking the easy road, the road of the natives among whom they're living, the road that led to false gods and the worship practices of those false gods. And Isaiah has already spent several chapters, if you're reading Isaiah, telling about what is going to happen because of that. Because of the horror that is going to be brought upon them if they do not change their directions. And in the rest of the reading we have today, he points to what will happen if they take the less traveled road, the one that is more difficult. And there is a feast of great things. There is the Lord himself who brings life into their life. We see a similar thing in Revelation. Now, Revelation is a difficult book. And in that book, if you read through it, many people get stopped about halfway through. They think, this is horrible. They're ugly beasts and there are terrible things happening. And we just, why bother reading anything that horrible? What they fail to do is reach this part of Revelation where the joy is found. God does give us warnings in the earlier chapters, but in the other chapter, he says, this is what you have to look forward to. It's not all horror. It's not all bad stuff. When you take the road less traveled, you come right to the throne of God, where there is no darkness, where death is no more, where there is light. And you don't have to turn the sign around to get there, because if you do, you won't make it. One of the programs that I really enjoyed on TV, it was a short movie. It was called Go to the Light. In it, there is an 8-year-old boy. He has been diagnosed with AIDS, and he knows that he's dying. And he received it from a blood transfusion. And as his parents have taken on the responsibility of helping him prepare for death, he asks all of the questions that most of us ask. What's it like to die? Does it hurt? What's heaven like? What am I going to find? And the final words of the parents to their son before he closed his eyes and died was, go to the light. And that's a good description for us of what we need to do as we prepare for our own death. Because one day, I don't know about you, but I fully expect that one day I might not live again. I might be dead. Not in a hurry for it. But, and I don't think any of you are too either. But the point is, we do need to prepare and decide which road we will take. Jesus is trying to prepare his disciples for taking that road. And this story, it's almost painful to read, because Mary is so distraught. She comes to Jesus and she says, you know, Lord, if you'd been here, this wouldn't have happened. He wouldn't have died. Now, I know the map. I've been to the Holy Land several times, and I know that where Jesus was at the time that he heard that Lazarus was dying was only a few hours' walk. He could have been there. But it's 4 days later that he shows up. They had kind of reason to be ticked off at him. You know, Lord, what took so long? This is your friend. Why weren't you here? But Jesus uses this to teach a lesson, a powerful lesson. You notice how as he approaches the tomb, he is really compassionately hurting. So much so that it says he weeps. By the way, kids, if you ever have to memorize a Bible verse, and you don't like these long Bible verses, this is one you can memorize real quick. He wept. Okay, just put that in the back of your thought patterns. But Jesus weeps. And do you ever wonder why he was weeping? Is it just because his friend is dying? I would like to suggest something else. I would like to suggest that Jesus, where did he come from?
Heaven. He came from heaven. He knows what it's like up there. He knows God's love. He knows the light. And he knows it's all goodness up there in heaven. And now, he has to call his friend back from the joys of heaven to live back here on earth again. That's why I think Jesus wept. To take a friend away from something so glorious and wonderful to live among us. But Jesus is trying to teach us, as well as his disciples, that you and I need to seek the light, to look at the light, and to aim our lives at the light, to choose the road other people don't choose. There is that smooth and easy road that leads us away from God. And it's oh so tempting to take that road. But Jesus calls us to the other road. The one that will pass through the valley of the shadow of death. It will pass through the struggles of this world. But the end result is not death and destruction, but life eternal in the presence of the light of our lives, of God himself, the one who calls us to be his children. As individuals, as Christians, as members of a congregation, we all must make that choice. Do we take the easy way, or do we take the way that God calls us to? One that's not always the easiest, because sometimes there are people who are difficult.
What would you say?
God calls us. You're right. God has been calling us from the day we were born. In fact, he baptized us and made us his children. And I'll bet you think I forgot about the children's sermon, don't you? I was planning to put it here now. Would you guys like to come up?
Come on up.
And call all the children up. Come on. Boy, we got a fantastic crowd today. Well, if you guys are going to sit there, I'll sit over here. Can I?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay. I was making a list of all of the things that I have to do to get into heaven. You see how much is on my list?
So much.
You see how much is on my list?
None.
There's nothing on there, is there? No, because Jesus has done it all for me. And he says, because I've done all of this for you, you are a saint. Did you know that you're a saint? Did you? Good for you. Well, I've got something for you. I want you to put this on your shirt. Can you do that? Saint. And you get to be a saint too. Each of you, does that mean you've never sinned? You've never done anything wrong? No. No. We can't say we're totally innocent, can we? But Jesus does something for us. He forgives us. And by forgiving us, he makes us a saint. So each of you is a saint. Did I give him what? Two? Oh, yeah, maybe he can share one. Would you like to share one with somebody too? Maybe your mom or dad or a friend. I've got a few more. They already have it? Okay. Well, while we're sitting here, I think you and your sister want to play something for us. Can you do that? All right. Fantastic.
Very good. Thank you. All right. Well, thank you all for coming and helping me today. Aren't you impressed with the fact that we have so many saints? Would all of the saints raise their hands? Well, some of you don't realize you are forgiven sinners, and therefore you fit the definition of a saint. All right? And you can wear one of these tags if you'd like. You can have a seat. Yeah. All right. Good for you. God calls us to be his saints, forgiven and given new life, and given the opportunity to take the road less traveled. Two roads do diverge in the wood, but we have chosen the one less traveled. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.